Hey guys, welcome to the WWE podcast and the news brief here. And this is going to be a little bit of a different one. Normally I go through stories as they come up on the different big wrestling websites, give my thoughts on them. But right now there is just only one story, I think, that is making the internet explode, particularly wrestling fans and even non-wrestling fans. And that is the Dark Side of the Ring episode entitled The Plane Ride from Hell. And the allegations coming out of that, are striking, they're disturbing, they're disappointing, they're infuriating. Pick your adjective. It's bad. And I want to go through the show with you. I'm not going to make this a long show. I'm going to make it as brief as I can. My rule with these shows is news briefs are 20 minutes or less. So that's still my goal. I don't want to drag this on any more than it needs to be. But I do want to give my reaction because this is a bombshell. I didn't entitle this show the way I did just for clicks. It's true. Why is it true? Because somebody is suspended right now from these allegations and from the way that they reacted on the show. One in Tommy Dreamer, who is now suspended from his show that he does, the Busted Open Radio. And rightfully so. His comments were maybe easily the worst comments made out of the entire documentary. Not that he did anything on the plane, per se, but the way he defended the actions of Ric Flair, it's inexcusable, and it's infuriating to me and anyone watching. I don't know what he was thinking making these comments. Sometimes you just gotta maybe say what you know you should rather than what you feel, knowing that this is going to be aired nationally. I mean, regardless, let's jump into this. The plane ride from hell, guys, we've heard about it. If you're a wrestling fan that's been around for a while, you've heard about the infamous plane ride from hell. I know I have, and very little detail come out of it other than you hear about some guys drinking too much. I mean, this is what I knew. Now, maybe you guys knew more than I did, but I just heard as a just kind of general things like, oh, they were on the plane for a while. People were messing around. They got drunk and started wrestling around. And, you know, they partied on the plane and there were a lot of ribs being done and people getting angry. And it was just a long flight and that's it. Like that's it. That's all that I knew about this flight, this infamous plane ride from hell. And it was a lot more than that. A lot more than that. It wasn't just a drunken stupor, which it was. It was a frat party of 25 to 35-year-old guys who have unlimited alcohol, massive egos, and the entitlement to feel that they can do what they want and have zero consequences, which we'll get to at the end here. And that's probably the most infuriating part. And so this plane ride, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. And by the way, if I'm going to give you any spoilers, if you don't want any spoilers and you want to watch this for yourself, go watch Dark Side of the Ring first and then come back here. I don't want to spoil anything from Dark Side of the Ring here. It's about a 43-minute show on the plane ride from hell. So fair warning right now, spoilers are ahead. Okay, you've been warned. So the plane was delayed 7 hours on the tarmac, unlimited booze at that point. They had about three cartfuls of liquor they went through. It was about a 50-seat plane. It was a charter private plane that these individuals went on. It was a lot of the top talent, including Vince McMahon on the plane, who was in the first class in the front of the plane, even though the entire plane was a luxury plane. Jim Ross was there. Michael Hayes was there. Ric Flair was there. Scott Hall was there. Justin Credible was there, among others. Brock Lesnar, Mr. Perfect, Stone Cold, though you didn't hear a whole lot about Stone Cold, interestingly. Those are really the main players here. And as the liquor flowed, they started to become a little bit restless, as people do when they drink. That's what happens when you drink, right? I mean, we've all done stupid crap when we drink. We've done it. I have made many dumb choices drinking. I've never assaulted anybody or sexually assaulted anybody, whether, again, sexual nature or physical or otherwise. I have not. So I can say that, but other stupid stuff. You guys know, right? Anybody that's drank knows. And you know what? They wrestled around and we had an incident, or they had an incident of Mr. Perfect and Brock Lesnar, who Mr. Perfect put shaving cream on Brock's head and then slapped his head, and they started wrestling around and they slammed into the emergency exit door and just messing around like guys. And you know, that if that was really the extent of it, we probably wouldn't have heard a whole lot about this. And it's just kind of like, oh, wow. Guys being guys, they're drunk, you know, whatever. But then it started to descend worse and more and more and more. The flight attendant and her story is really at the center of this. The flight attendant, there were really two of them, but one of them is at the focal point, and the one that I was on camera. She told about a lot of the inappropriate things that were going on, and that it got progressively worse throughout the flight. And as the flight continued, it was a total of 14 hours from London, I think it was, to the States. And again, 7 hours included, of course, on the tarmac, which is god awful. I mean, being on the tarmac is, even for an extra 10 minutes, is just the worst. I can't imagine 7 hours. So the flight was 14 hours. Things got progressively worse in the air. Ribs starting to happen. Michael Hayes gets his ponytail cut off. We have people drugging each other. They call it the H-bomb. Mr. Perfect would do the H-bomb. Basically, it knocks you out. And there's stories of, well, at least there's general hints of, I think it was, maybe it was Justin Credible who said that the guys would use this, not just on each other, but when they would go and maybe, you know, hang out with girls, that they would use this on the women. He didn't give names, no specifics on that. That's a very general statement, but a really disturbing one as well. Basically, roofied. I mean, I don't care what you call it, whatever cute name you come up with it, you're drugging the person to sexually assault them. So we can guarantee ourselves that that has happened. Who, when, or how, we don't know, but we can guarantee it's happened. So they had H-bombs, which people had to be careful of with Mr. Perfect. And Scott Hall actually was one of the victims of it, he believes, because he said he has no recollection of that flight, even though he's had many years of experience with drug and pills, and he was out. So I kind of believe him on that, but his actions of trying to lick the face and pull down the blouse or the shirt of the flight attendant at the end of the flight, I don't care what state of mind you're in. The law doesn't say, well, look, if you were drunk, no problem. You know, if you were sober, then you definitely, you know, we're going to hold you accountable. But listen, you know, you had clearly a one too many to drink. So no worries here, right? And that, fortunately, that's not how the law works. And it's kind of a shame that no legal charges were brought against Scott Hall. And I'll get to Ric Flair in a minute. And I really feel for this woman, this flight attendant. Now, again, I want to also say these are allegations, but I tend to believe them. I know that there's this belief that we're supposed to always believe any sexual assault allegations, believe all women, believe all whoever. And I think just believing someone blindly it's dangerous, because it gives the ability for anyone to just make allegations and destroy someone's life with no substantive evidence. I think it's a dangerous precedent to set. And I think sometimes, and we've seen it before, where you have a woman or a man even just accuse somebody of sexual assault or raping them or touching them inappropriately, and there's no evidence to support it. And they know that if they make that accusation, even if they don't prove it, that their life may still be ruined. So we need to be careful, right? And I'm not devaluing or discrediting this individual. I think that she's telling the truth. I believe her. But I also understand that with just taking someone's word is also a heavy burden to bear, or a very big risk. in normal circumstances, but given there were so many people on the plane, again, I want to make it clear, I believe her. I'm just saying we can't always believe anyone all the time about any accusation, because it's a dangerous precedent to set, and you give anyone with bad intent, malicious intent, a lot of power just by opening their mouth with accusations and no evidence. But I believe her. And here is really the story at the center of this and the crux of this whole thing that I am really, really infuriated about on so many levels. And that is, of course, Ric Flair. Now, Scott Hall, I just said, he, at the end of the flight, told the flight attendant what he wanted to do to her. And a part of that, I guess, was wanting to lick her. And he tried to. Maybe he succeeded. Maybe he didn't. You have muscle-bound guys who could easily overpower this woman. I mean, it's not even a question. So I believe that Scott Hall did that. And then this is the crux here. Ric Flair, who was known as a partier, we know that. That's not the controversy. I even have heard stories about him in his robe. And the gag was, or the rib, as they say, was, he'd be naked under his robe. And all the boys would pop for that, as they say. That's the gag. I've even heard about that. So to me, that's not even really the controversial part if you wanted to do it to the other guys. I mean, it's bad enough you're doing it on a plane. Maybe the guys don't want to see it. Maybe the flight attendants accidentally see it. That's bad. What makes this really bad for Rick is that he cornered the flight attendant in their gallery, where their kitchenette is, the food and the drinks. And apparently he has a signature move, no pun intended, where I'm just going to flat out say it. He spins his penis around like a helicopter. Now, this is getting a little bit too TMI here, but I remember doing that as like a 5-year-old, right? When you just find it funny, you're kind of exploring your body as a guy. You're like, and you find it funny. You don't do that as a 40-some-year-old man, close to 50, I think, at this point, and cornering a flight attendant and not just exposing himself to her, but also telling her to touch him and then taking her hand and forcing her to touch him. Now, she said she never felt like he was going to rape her. She did say that. But, I mean, that doesn't make things that much better. And Ric Flair, I believe this. I believe her. I believe this story. Ric Flair was known as one of the biggest partiers. And he was the top of the food chain, right, with the boys. So the boys popped for this. They found it hilarious, and she obviously was, extremely distraught and trying to hold things together and refusing and all that kind of thing. So eventually, I guess Dustin Reynolds Goldust got on the intercom and told him to stop. Everyone else was laughing, but Dustin Reynolds was able to convince Ric Flair to come back or whatever. This is really bad. I mean, some people go, oh, well, he didn't rape her. Like, I've heard arguments. I've seen it online. I'm like, not on Twitter, but on other places. Like, well, he didn't actually rape her. He didn't force himself on her. Yeah, he forced her on him. I don't care if he had her. Honestly, it makes it really bad that it was in his, I'm guessing, his nether regions. But even if it was him forcing her to touch his shoulder, you don't go there, right? And Ric Flair, I believe, did this. I think there's no doubt about it. And here's where it gets even worse. Tommy Dreamer then has the audacity in the interview here to say that these are just accusations. It was just a joke. She can't take a joke. Are you kidding me? You know what? Let me play this for you so you can understand. And I don't want to paraphrase. I want to get it straight from the horse's mouth about exactly what Tommy Dreamer said about this.
I feel this is trying to portray someone as this sexual predator, and it's not. It's a joke. It's a gag. And today, 1,000% inappropriate. My hairstyle is inappropriate right now. I am somehow offending someone right now with my double ponytail. How dare I have two ponytails? And my answer is I'm 50 years old. I'm happy I have hair. But if you're asking me, I've hung out with Ric Flair. I've never seen him try to force his will against anybody.
I don't feel that his intent was to rape me. But what he did was wrong.
All right, we're going to pause it there. I mean, obviously, copyright reasons, I can only go so far. Okay, Tommy, let me educate you a bit, my friend. I don't care if you're 50, you're 80, you're 20. I don't care what year it is. I don't care where you are. Year, just because it's a different year, doesn't mean that it wasn't illegal back then or it made it any better. Just because you're saying, well, you know, today, by today, it'd be horrible. By today, you know. Yeah, because people are being held accountable now. That doesn't make it any better that it happened back then. People are actually just taking action now. And yes, again, I understand that there are people with malicious intent that just say things to get attention and ruin people's lives with no actual evidence and nothing happened. That's not the case here. He said it's a gag. Oh, really? Oh, it's a gag. Right. Indecent exposure is a gag. Yeah, you know, it's a criminal offense. Placing your hand, forcing someone else's hand to touch your penis is a gag. Really? How about you go to the local prison and they'll show you what those gags look like? I mean, that is inexcusable. That is the worst thing you could have said. It's almost like he tried to turn heel in this production. That's a career killing statement there. And this woman did file a lawsuit against WWE. She got a settlement. And Tommy Dreamer also said that if she really felt that he would, you know, these awful people need to go to jail, she should have just taken this to the fullest extent of the law. Oh, really? So she's going to take months or possibly years out of her life, boatloads of money to pay for lawyer fees and attorney fees, may not even be successful against WWE's lawyers, which are probably a little bit more skilled in this area. They are the corporate lawyers, and you may not come out of this with anything. So you either take a guaranteed settlement or go through months or years of your life dragging this out, having to relive it every day in court to try to bring somebody to justice that may ultimately not even serve a day in jail, and you may lose the case flat out. Great logic there, brother. I mean, this is really, really bad. And it doesn't just stop with Tommy Dreamer. And I hate to say this. I really hate to say this. But the organization itself, and this is where Jim Ross comes in, and I hate to, because I love Jim Ross so much, I really do, but I don't know how you can excuse Jim Ross. And here's what he said regarding how did Ric Flair evade any punishment from this. He's the one guy, because Jim Ross had to fire guys over this. He fired Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, over this. Scott Hall, gone. So how did Ric Flair, the guy that had the most egregious act on the entire 14-hour flight from hell, sexually assault? That's called sexual assault, Tommy. Sexual assault's not a gag. This woman is still uncomfortable 20 years later, still talking about it. Go watch it. Boy, what a gag that is, huh? Maybe that ponytail, that double ponytail, is pulling a little too tight in your skull, right? Maybe it's restricting blood flow to your freaking brain. So here's what Jim Ross said. And boy, I hate to rack on Jim Ross here, but take a listen to this. This is the other part I want to talk about.
Any sort of suspension or anything like that?
Good question. I guess, lack of a better term, he was a made man. And he was such a high-level made man that he got a pass. But was the right thing to do? I don't know. You're listening to it, folks. You decide. You got to pass.
Okay, Jim. Jim is obviously still emotional about this and recognizes that he probably made a mistake when it came to this. But I don't think Jim should have said, you know, was that the right thing to do? You decide. No. Jim. It's now been 20 years. How are you not saying, yeah, in hindsight, is it what we should have done? No. The answer is no. I mean, you could have at least suspended him at bare minimum for like 90 days and kept the reasons quiet if you didn't want to at the bare minimum. You know, they did nothing. Zero, because he's a big star. That's essentially what he said. And flat out, and I do give Jim Ross credit for at least coming out and saying, look, it was because he was a made man. He was a big star. He was the guy. He was at such a high level that he gets a pass. Which, you know what? This isn't the first time something like this has happened, and it's not going to be the last. What I mean by that is stars at that level, whether it's WWE, although today may be a bit different of an environment there, in any professional sport, whatever it is, musicians, if you're a star, you get treated differently. Period. You do. And oftentimes, you get a pass for things that other people would be arrested for. It's still going on today. We know it is. I'm not saying it's sexual assault in this exact scenario, but certainly there are times that stars you know are getting treated differently because they're a star. And I know that WWE is thinking they didn't want the bad press, which is why they did the settlement and made them just kind of keep quiet. And the woman said that, you know, that's also almost worse that money forces you to be quiet. And because it then kind of internalizes the whole situation again, it feels like you don't really get closure and you feel like you're a little bit cheap for just taking money. And I get it, you know, but again, this is something that the whole, well, he's a big star, so he gets a pass. It's not an excuse. That's not an excuse at all. As not. And you know what? Vince McMahon was on this flight. What the hell was he doing? He could not have been completely blind to everything going on. He knew. He had to have known what the hell was going on. Vince always knows. It's his freaking plane that he chartered and rented out. So I doubt that Vince didn't know everything, but now everyone does. Now everyone knows what happened. And it's disturbing. It's eye-opening. It's disappointing, as I opened the show with. It's all of the above. All of the above. And I could spend much more time discussing this and going into different elements of it and, you know, maybe providing more clips and this and that. But I feel like it would go down a dark, deep, dark hole that I don't want to go down now. Plus, I'm beyond my time limit. I'm at 23 minutes now, but this, I had to get on. I was going to take a night off of doing any podcasting because I just need a break from the podcast sometime. But Mimi Burris, our co-host here, who enlightened me to this, I'm now glad I watched it. And she has rescinded herself of doing the highs and lows of the week and has stated she will never do another woo again. I get it. And Twitter is not happy. Tommy Dreamer. And here's actually a little bit of news beyond. Well, it is about Dark Side of the Ring. And again, Tommy Dreamer. He's been suspended by Impact Wrestling. Okay, I don't watch Impact. I didn't know he was there. Okay, so I was thinking he was suspended from the show on his podcast that he does, Busted Open Radio. Maybe they suspended him too. So I misspoke at the beginning. My bad. So here's the report. Pro Wrestling Insider reports that Dreamer was quote unquote asked to leave effective immediately from this week's taping in Tennessee, after making statements that were out of line with the company's core values. Impact Wrestling has not yet responded to TV Line's request for comment. Again, they went on how the plane ride from hell in 2002, a nightmarish transatlantic flight that saw intoxicated wrestlers brawl with each other mid-flight, reportedly harassed the flight attendants on board. And then he goes on to explain it. And it was it was bad. I mean, Ric Flair has previously denied this woman, her last name is Doyle, her allegations. And, you know, obviously he's going to deny. What's he going to say? Yeah, I did it. But everyone, you know, just be okay with it. It was so long ago. It doesn't matter. You know, he's not going to say that. But the quote by Dreamer by saying, I feel like this is trying to portray someone as a sexual predator, and it's not. It's a joke. It's a gag. And today, 1,000% inappropriate. Again, that's a terrible defense, Dreamer. How do you not know right from wrong? It's not knowing. It's not understanding what's right and wrong. It's the sense of entitlement as a star, as a man who is, who has a inflated ego, a whole bunch of inflated egos on that flight, and the sense of just being that alpha male who, again, has a sense of entitlement and above the regular person, above the law, so to speak, and anything went, and you're drunk. I mean, of course, it's just a perfect storm. It's a perfect storm of crap, but Dreamer just absolutely shot himself in the foot, and he was suspended from Impact. I don't know about the podcast, the Busted Open podcast. I do not know, but I don't know how they can't not address it. They have to. They have to. This is bad, especially in 2021. I mean, everybody is so hypervigilant about this stuff now. It's got to explode. Tommy Dreamer is going to suffer big time from those comments. Big time. It's just a joke and a gag. Yeah. What a total piece of garbage thing to say. I don't care about, you know, whatever he says from here on out. I don't care if he apologizes. It doesn't matter. You know, you've had 20 years to reflect on this, and that's your statement. I mean, what a fool. What a fool. And as far as Ric Flair goes, I have lost respect for him now. His body of work is, of course, is second to none. You can't, just because he did something really bad outside of the ring doesn't change what he did inside of the ring. It just changes your perception of that star. And I think a lot of people have changed their perception of Ric Flair, and Tommy Dreamer is in a bad way, and rightfully so. Guys, go watch this. It's infuriating. It's informative. It's the fastest 43 minutes you'll ever watch. And shame on WWE. Shame on Tommy Dreamer. Shame on Ric Flair. Shame on everybody who just let this happen. Again, I don't know about you guys out there listening. We've drank and partied together a lot. I mean, my years, I started drinking and partying probably, I was 19, so I was really late to the party. I had a really innocent teenage life somehow. I somehow avoided where people start now at like 14. Nonetheless, I drank from like 19 to like 29. So I had like a 10-year period where it was a lot, right? It was maybe at least once a week. Sometimes it'd skip a week, but sometimes it was multiple times a week, especially in college. And never once, I don't know about you guys, never once did I ever run into a situation where I was at a place or participating in something like this and thought it was okay. Never. The laws weren't different in 2002. It's just that when you get to a level that you feel you're above the law, that's the problem. And you have a sense of entitlement. And along a whole bunch of other host of issues. So anyway, this is going to be bad news bears for Tommy Dreamer for a long time. And it should be. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say. So let me know what you guys think. Go watch it if I didn't already spoil it for you. But if you did watch it again, I'm probably going to watch it again. So thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll probably have more on this in the days to come, and I'll talk to you next time.